That was Dr. Jazz by the Bonzo Dog Band. This is Brain Damage, and as I said, we played that piece to lend a certain air of dignity to the beginning of the program. One of the things that I think we might discuss tonight is loss of dignity. Not really, but actually situations, and I don't want to get too personal. I'm not asking that you get overly personal, but possibly, if some of you listening would like, or all of you, I don't know if we can get all of you on the air, but some of you listening would like to discuss situations, not necessarily where you just lost dignity, but situations where something completely unexpected came up. And again, I'm not looking for particularly tragic stories or really awfully embarrassing moments, nothing where you have to humiliate yourself on the air by telling the story, or for that matter, no reason for you to have to embarrass somebody else, but situations where you expected something to be the case, and then something turned out to be entirely different and might have led to a humorous situation where you just walked into some room or some office or some public area and discovered that what was going to be a very routine situation turned out to be not so routine. In the meantime, while you're mulling that over, more music with dignity now. We'll once again hear the Bonzo Dog Band and Tubas in the Moonlight.
I can hear the humming of a melancholy coon. All the memories that still linger, I thank your Mr. Moon. And although I've never smiled, winter, summer, autumn too, now here's one tune to remind me why I feel so blue. Tubas in the moonlight, playing for me all night. Tell me what I want to hear. Am I only dreaming? Am I only dreaming? Stars above me, shining brightly. Why can't she be sitting there beside me? Tubas in the moonlight, bring my loved one home. Thank you.
It is only through a change of consciousness that the world will be transformed. As we bring mind, body, psyche, and spirit into harmony and unity, so also will the world be changed. This is our responsibility as we create and explore new dimensions of being.
Discover new dimensions every Friday at 10 a.m. here at 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Okay, if you had some time to think about, not about new dimensions, that's a fine program here on WUSB, but about our possible topic, one of our possible topics for tonight on brain damage, which is a situation where something untoward, something completely unexpected happened you found yourself in and became very humorous. If you will want to give us a call at 632-6901, that's 632-6901, area code 516, we'd be happy to hear such an anecdote. Within the certain bounds of reason, we don't want to hear anybody revealing certain very embarrassing details or certainly nothing that was really tragic, but something that was, let's say, tumultuously amusing, or at least approximating tumultuous amusement, where you walked into a situation where you were expecting one thing to happen and something completely different came about. Any type of situation where that was the case, no matter what age you might have been. 632-6901, area code 516, 632-6901. I can think of a situation that I'm in right now, possibly, where I think I'm giving out a topic for discussion on the air that a number of people would be interested in discussing and discovering that nobody wants to discuss it. Ha! That could be the case. But we'll still keep the lines open because no one's calling right now. But if you'd like to, we will still keep the lines open for at least a while on that topic. A situation where you discovered yourself in a completely unexpected circumstance that was amusing to you. In the meantime, here is more music from the group Bonzo Dog Band. So far we've heard Dr. Jazz, Tubas in the Moonlight, and this is Laughing Blues here on Brain Damage on WUSB. Thank you. That's the Bonzo Dog Band and Laughing Blues on WUSB. And Eric Quarterly has happily arrived. Thank goodness for the future survival of this program. Welcome here, Eric.
Well, let me just get over to this.
Certainly. How you doing? How's the rain?
Unfortunately, I'm tangled up in the
my
microphone
goodness.
Here.
Yes. Do you need some assistance?
No, I can do this all by myself.
Would you like perhaps to have me beat you with a rubber or a mallet or something? Would that
help?
Okay,
I think it's working.
Well, we have very sophisticated procedures for testing our equipment here, ladies and gentlemen.
I have very sophisticated headphones in my head right now. I'm only hearing every other word I say.
Well, that's the ultimate in sophistication, the implication being that you're so nonchalant about your program and so sophisticated you only are interested in hearing, well, not interested, but you're only concerned with every other word.
I heard nonchalant, sophisticated, and interested.
Right, there
I just heard air.
Fine, then we're doing just fine. Okay. I can hear every other word that you can hear, so together we have a working program.
Well, now, if the listeners turn on their stereo radios, which I believe are making a big comeback these days.
Right, they are.
You can almost hear everything we say.
Yeah, quad is almost on the way out.
Let me tell you something, Jim. It's a disaster outside.
It is?
Because I was driving.
Rain.
And by the way, I was driving and I was listening to the introduction to this radio.
And I guess you could guess that it was a disaster inside here after you heard me go on, I suppose.
Well, I was referring to the musical introduction that we play every week.
Yes.
And I realized as I was driving in this monsoon with all kinds of horrible things going on around me, how much of a danger.
Excuse me, I hate to interrupt, but were the horrible things going on around you inside your car or outside your car?
Outside the car, but I'll get to that in a second.
Yes.
The amazing thing is we put this on every week. We put that intro on every week, and people are driving in their cars, and it kind of makes you very nervous to be hearing that, the strange sounds and the voices coming through your different channels and everything. And I don't know. I'm going to reconsider.
Really?
There must be people out there that have had close calls because of that music.
Well, I could suggest one of two alternatives. I suppose if you're thinking of redesigning the theme, that's one alternative. The other one would be to perhaps see if the Suffolk County Legislature would pass an ordinance making it illegal for people to drive whenever your program is on the air.
Well, that would be good because it would offer an opportunity for road maintenance, which is something that we could certainly use somehow. I learned that tonight.
There
are lakes out there.
The drainage becomes a problem.
Uncharted lakes in the middle of county and state roads out there. It's raining pretty good. I mean, there's thunder, there's lightning, a lot of rain, and for some reason, when it rains, traffic lights break down. I was at a major intersection, and everybody was just kind of sitting there, and the little tiny road that goes across the big four-lane highway had the light for about 4 minutes.
Oh, my.
And nobody was taking advantage of it over there. And while everybody was kind of piling up on the four-lane highway, the people on the other side heading southbound, which is the direction I wasn't going, caught on to it rather early and started going through the light cautiously. But the people going northbound were sticklers for rules, and they stayed there. And finally, I had to sort of beep and go around and drive on the grass and go past them.
Wow.
Because I was getting kind of sick of just staying there. Not just because I wanted to get here, but because my car has about an ounce of gas left in it, which I'm planning on refilling as soon as I leave the station tonight. And also, my car has a unique problem right now in that there's something wrong with the battery cable, where if I try to start it, sometimes it doesn't start. And I have to go outside, open up the hood, and scratch it with a key. Scratch the battery terminals with a key. Yes, and that makes it start for some reason. And but I have to do that. And considering that it was pouring rain at the time and I had an ounce of gas in my car, and I was late for the show, I didn't want to do that then.
Well, I can imagine.
I'd be happy to do it later.
Perhaps
I've
a demonstration.
Done it four times already.
Well, I was going to say, if you find that your lock freezes, does scratching it with a battery cable help the key to open it? Kind of the converse
through?
Well,
it's interesting that you brought that up. I don't know if I've talked about this before about my lock, but during the winter, and I think it's probably safe to talk about this now because I think winter is finally behind us. But during a couple of those evenings where we had rain that turned into hail and slush and sludge and all that kind of stuff that came out of the sky, my lock would freeze, and I would go back to my car after being someplace for a whole day, and I couldn't get in.
Mm.
I had my keys, but I couldn't get in. Nothing.
So,
none of my
so
doors
near
would
and
open.
Yet so far.
It was the most embarrassing thing. I'd be pounding on the door. I even went over to 7-Eleven, and I had to buy, get this, I had to buy a cup of boiling water. They say, we have to charge you for the cup. We don't charge you for what's inside the cup. We charge you for the cup. So, you know, I was tempted to just hold out my hands and get some boiling water in that way. But I also thought of something else. If they charge by the cup, that means you can walk in there with your own cups and get whatever you want.
That's
technically true. They can't charge you for it because it's the cups
if
that they're paying for.
If the policy, yes, is the cups. Then,
or you can, you know, those big gulp things that they have. Mm-hmm. There. You can just sort of put your mouth underneath them, I guess, and push the button. It's kind of disgusting, but you save money, you know, and that's what it's all about. But in any event,
that's an untoward situation to find yourself in. And I was just going to say, I can imagine how there was extra urgency in your mind as you were trying to get here, as you heard me on the air here filling
yes,
in for you, and,
I realized,
and saw the last vestiges as by the time I had finished. When I began your program, your reputation as a broadcaster here had started, or your reputation's your program's reputation had started to slip ever downward. And by the time you got here, I guess the last vestiges of any reputation that you had hoped would remain had dissolved once I had totally destroyed or damaged brain damage, as it were.
Jim, that's
I'm sorry, but you know,
that crossed my mind
because yeah,
I mean, I worked long and hard to get this audience, and now they seem to have gone away.
I know, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what I could have said. Perhaps it was the maniacal scream that I let out with as the program opened.
That could have been it. It could have been.
Or the vitriolic harangue I gave to each and every listener.
Trying to get people to talk about things that they're embarrassed about talking about sounds like something that could lead to disaster.
No, that's true. But actually, I did clarify that I did not wish them to embarrass themselves or others. I was really more looking for a situation that came up that was totally unexpected, that turned out to be very amusing by let's say, the very absurdity or the very incongruity of the situation, that it was something that one never would have expected to happen, and that it created an amusing and a surprising situation.
Well, let's give out the phone number again. Maybe we can get people to call up and talk about things. I've got a couple of bizarre situations that I brought with me. I have to go get them. But our phone number is
632-6901, if you want to help rebuild Eric Corley's program, 632-6901, area code 516. And if you live on Long Island, as we've mentioned before,
don't try dialing.
Don't try calling 516.
You'll get one of those doo-doo-doo recordings, and they're really obnoxious. You know, you get charged a penalty fee every time you get one of those?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, $2 penalty fee.
No.
Yeah, every time you make a mistake and get a doo-doo-doo. Yeah.
Is that so?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
That's not true.
Because I was going to say, is that some kind of royalty on the musicians that play doo-doo-doo or the synthesizer programmer?
It could happen. If we don't stay awake, 24 hours a day and monitor things, that could happen very easily.
It could.
Very easily.
It could, but I think by that time, if we stay awake 24 hours a day, we're not going to care much about anything.
Well, there
after
you
a
go,
while.
Then. And you solve the problem.
Oh, so you're right. You're right. Absolutely right. Well, then shall we do it? Someone has called.
Someone or something.
Well, I don't know. I said we have a lot of canines apparently that listen to the program from a few weeks ago, I remember, but would be an idea to speak to them or
I have an idea first. These headphones are so annoying because
yes.
I'm really I've got uh-oh. Did you see that? We had a light flicker.
Yes.
Are we still on the air?
Let's see. It looks that way.
Okay, we're still on the air, but we did have a power surge for a second there.
Mm.
And that was probably a lightning strike because there is lightning out there, lightning and thunder and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. But these headphones are driving me crazy, so I want to go into the booth and talk from
okay,
there.
Okay, that's reasonable.
I'll have to talk to the listeners through their radios, obviously.
No problem.
And on the way, let me invite you to partake of some of these corn chips,
thank
potato
you.
Chips.
Thank
I brought,
you very
I brought
much.
A couple of Twinkies.
That's right. And if I may call your attention to the table out in the newsroom where I have some soft raisin
there's
cookies.
There's a salad bar out there. I noticed that.
And oh, yes, we now have a free salad bar. I'm sorry, not for listeners. There would just be too many listeners to accommodate, but for the staff here, we have a free salad bar, and there's an aerobics class that's given in one of the studios every half hour, and
that ends at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes,
it seems if it goes around the clock.
No, I that would be silly. I suppose
the salad bar is always there somehow. I don't know. stuff doesn't seem to go bad.
But speaking of which, it's extraordinary. Actually, it has something to do with the ink on the paper that contains the news stories that we read. The ink is some type of preservative that, so
we get double purpose out of the news.
Exactly. But I was going to mention, you're talking about the exercise pro. Well, actually, maybe I should let you go into the news.
Yeah, because I am only hearing every other word.
So, very
say,
no problem.
A lot of static.
No
but,
problem.
I'll go in there. And then and I'll talk to you from there.
Very good. No problem at all.
I'm going to take either the potato chips or the corn chips with me. Which do you want?
I'll tell you what. You can take both.
I don't think that's a good idea because then I'll get sick.
Oh, okay. Well, because I was going to say, I was going to have some, there's some juice out there. I was going to have some juice and some cookies, and I didn't want to deplete your food supply.
No, well, it's not my food supply. It's only a snack.
Well, you can take either one, whatever you prefer, because I like both potato chips and corn chips. Thank you.
Well, I guess I'll take the potato chips, then. You keep the corn chips.
Fine. Thank you very much.
All right, and I'll take that can of soda, too.
Excellent.
All right.
That's good. Thanks.
I'll put my headphones on my microphone like this.
That's a good idea. That's nice. That's very pleasant. Thank you. I
enjoyed
that.
Like a cricket, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of like a cricket hitting me over the head with a jackboot, kind of. This is how I like to think of it.
This is music on the air.
That's lovely.
That's really beautiful.
I think that Brian Dinger may be interested in having you on his program on Music for Modern Ears. Either that or the American Otological Society might want to have you in as a guest to tell you to stop doing that.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, I might point out there's a cassette running here.
Yes, it's recording every word we're saying.
It is going to stop at some point.
Right, that's correct.
Now, when it stops, we don't want to, like, make it obvious that we're changing cassette.
In other words, you wouldn't want to say, well, I think I'll get up like this. And then walk over to the cassette machine.
No, you don't want to do that.
No, you wouldn't want to do that and say, well, let's see, it's almost over. So should I wait over here and do the rest of the show or the rest of the segment from here? Or should I come back over to the microphone like this, sit down?
Instead of doing that, what I would prefer to do is that you signal me in a secret way so that the listeners don't know.
In a secret way?
Just say something like,
okay.
Let's think of a special code
word.
Okay,
a special code word. Okay, let's see. How about, oh!
There you go. That's good. No one will know what that means.
No, they have no idea.
Perfect.
No idea. It's used in the vernacular all the time.
So when you say that, I will slip in quietly, change the cassette, and the listeners will never know.
That's a fine idea.
Fine.
Superlative.
Okay. Now I will move into the other studio.
That's a good idea.
And we'll start taking phone calls at 632-6901.
That's 632-6901. And right now, Eric is about to move into the studio. Some representatives of, is it Mayflower or Allied or one of the other van companies are helping him move all the material. Actually, not really. I mean, I'm just kidding. I know I'm not supposed to mention brand names in any kind of serious way. But he is now entering the news booth here at WUSB 90.1 FM, Long Island's first station of the 90s. And, again, if you want to discuss some type of situation that you encountered that was totally unexpected and that had amusing results because of the incongruity of it, you can call us here at WUSB at 632-6901. That's 632-6901. And if you're calling from outside of Nassau, Suffolk, the number is 516-632-6901. Or let me be more specific. The number is 1-516-632-6901 so that you can avoid hearing boo doo doo. Hello, Eric.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Once again, we have subtle ways of testing equipment without letting you people know that we're testing the equipment. That's very good, Eric.
This is a mic check. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Do I sound a little
you're coming distorted?
Through, yes, you're coming through loud and kind of a little distorted, though, so could you maybe bring your pot down a little bit? I'll try it now.
How's this? Is this okay?
That's fine, Eric.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Actually, okay. I prefer it
okay.
like this.
Okay, I think the general rule of the station is you're supposed to stay at least 10 yards away from the microphone.
There aren't 10 yards in this room.
No, I think they're going to have to knock down a wall in order to comply with that policy.
Okay, well, here are the potato chips.
Yeah, and here are the corn chips. Let's see, April 4th expiration. Okay, that looks safe.
Let's take that caller. He's
okay, very good.
632-6901. There they go, they're lighting up.
Oh, my gosh.
They're lighting up.
Okay,
632-6901.
Okay, WUSB, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Fine.
So,
I just heard you on the radio over here.
Oh, really? Well, where are you calling from?
Mastic.
Mastic, very nice.
Mastic, that's pretty good. Mastic, they're getting our signal.
Yes, which leads me to a question. The Mastic,
what kind of question do you want me to ask you?
Well, very good. I was going to ask you a question. Is the Mastic Shirley radio station railroad station located in Mastic, Shirley, or on the border straddling both of them. Do you happen to know that?
Shirley.
It's located in Shirley.
No. He's saying Shirley. He knows the answer to the question. Okay, sir, go ahead. What is the answer to the question?
I thought you were going to give me another answer for that. Anyway.
Oh. Maybe it's in Floyd Harbor.
Perhaps. Eric, now, you know, it's funny, because this is the first time I've ever done the show from this side of it. Do we just let the phones continue to ring, or do I pick them up?
What we do is we pick them up as we go along.
As we go, so we just let them keep ringing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fine.
Our listeners are very patient people. Plus, when it keeps ringing, they don't get charged for it, you see.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So what we wanted to know is if you have ever been in a situation that was totally unexpected, that started out one way, ended up another way, and because it was so unexpected, it turned out to be very funny.
Yeah, I didn't like that before.
Pardon?
I didn't like that before.
Can you think of a particular instance you could describe that you think might be funny to the listeners?
Like an example that so many people want so many things at one time.
So many people want so many things at one time?
Yeah.
I think it's
too complicated.
Can you be more specific?
Like friends and relatives and parents.
Uh-huh. They expect a lot of you.
Yes.
And there's just no way to please them all.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
There's too much compromise from them.
Yeah.
Or too much confusion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one way to get out of it is doing one step at a time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if too many people at one time are trying to ask for more than one, they're going to confuse you more.
Makes sense.
Yes. Like, tell you an example. I got a girlfriend, okay? Been going out with her for 2 months and 3 weeks, and she happens to use me.
How so?
Well, she takes control of me. And
tries to manipulate every little thing you do.
Yeah. And I have somebody else in school that likes me, and, you know, it's just, like, confusing, you know? It's like, who likes me and who doesn't?
Uh-huh.
I tell you, it's weird.
Have you ever confronted this person with that trait of theirs?
No.
Do you think you ever will?
Maybe.
Well, you'd probably feel better if you did. I mean, it might make for some sparks in the short term, but it's better than being walked over and pushed around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've been like that before.
Yeah.
I had so many who did that before.
Uh-huh.
I know. I'm listening to you guys on the radio, you know.
Okay.
I'm surprised, you know.
Well, good luck. Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now, Jim, what you do is you push
the button. Push the next one up, right.
Well, you can also just push the button of the line that's on now.
Jump over by accident.
Yeah, then that way you have no calls, and we can just talk like
I see.
And say, well, the number once again is 632-6901. And also, I might add, we will get a call on the bottom line that comes in, but that call will be after the call that's ringing now on the top line. So we shouldn't go from one to the next because people will be waiting longer.
Right. And determine the order in which they arrive.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep sort of a chart here.
Right.
632-6901. And was that more or less what you were after?
Well, actually, no. I mean, and it's no offense meant to the caller. It was a perfectly legitimate observation situation he was posing. But what I'm looking for is a situation where somebody expected something to happen,
uh-huh.
and it turned out that it happened not the way one would normally expect it to happen. Let's say a very commonplace occurrence. That was an impromptu performance of the aria from the opera Change of Tape.
Whew.
By
that's good.
Nudnirsky.
We lost a caller on that one, but we got away with
it. We lost a caller, but we gained the side of tape.
Yes, we did. 632-6901. If there's anything else that you want to call up and talk about, feel
that's
free.
That's fine, too.
We never limit you to this one thing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely not.
You can take control of this program and steer it wherever you want to go.
Absolutely not. Absolutely yes.
Yes. 632-6901. Let's go to another call.
Not a bad idea at all. WUSB, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Bill.
Hi.
I have a couple of anecdotes.
Sure.
One was a couple of years ago, I'm in a fraternal organization, and at the end of a meeting of this organization, we all get around ourselves and we sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
So we all get together, and we're standing in a circle, and the leader of our section of the organization stands up there, and he takes a breath, and he starts singing another song. So we're up there, and it's all somber, and all of a sudden, he sings. Who's the leader of the band who's made for you and me? M-I-C-K-E-Y. Well, anyway, that was a whole lot of fun. That would started, well, that was generally fun.
Yeah, that's kind of the situation that I have in mind. It is funny.
Yeah, it was. The other situation happened about, during spring break here on campus. And I work on the radio station, and I was doing an interview.
Wait. You work on this radio station?
Oh, yes.
He works on this radio station.
I was doing an interview, and I had the guest mic.
I think it's Bill Fox, right?
In the wrong position.
Ah, Bill Fox. Okay.
Right, so you had the guest mic in the wrong position.
And there was another interview going on in the conference room.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking this person about his life and this and that and the other thing, and on the same channel, going over the air, I had this woman talking about breakdancing, and it just didn't know. And that was amusing, and I got my phone lines lighting up, and people were like, what's going on? This is disgusting, and people were generally unamused.
Well, that means you're reaching people. That's what's important
yes.
here. People
you know,
get disgusted.
Those are my anecdotes for today.
Hmm. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
So,
oh, we need more things like that.
Well, I was going to say, thank you very much, Bill, for calling and contributing to that. And that is basically the kind of idea or situation that I had in mind.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Sure.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Eric there?
Yes, he is.
I guess you're not listening to the radio because I'm in another room.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric's on your radio only. You can't hear him on the phone because he had to go to another room.
I see. Okay, well, then, bye.
Take care. Have a good evening.
You too.
I have an anecdote here.
Yes.
In front of me that comes from today's New York Times, which might be interesting. In fact, it is interesting, I think, and if you don't think so, well, that's too bad. How did I get so confrontational? I'm just reading a story here.
No, it's okay. It's the general, I guess it's the change in the weather, the constant change. It goes from cold to hot, from dry to wet.
It sure does. You know, it was 15 degrees a week ago, and now it's 75.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I don't understand this place.
Absolutely.
Well, the number is 632-6901. Give us a call, and here is an anecdote. Frank Calabro of Shirley, this can go out to our listener out of Mastic, at Mastic Shirley, whatever that place is. Frank Calabro glanced out the window of his real estate office this week and saw a house heading north on the William Floyd Parkway, his house. That's right, Dr. Calabro, a family practitioner in Mastic who dabbles part-time in real estate, bought the small yellow and white two-bedroom house in August and planned to have it moved to a nearby plot of land. He had the house raised from its foundation, and it was resting on wooden skids. But on Wednesday, he discovered that somebody else had the same idea. If I hadn't looked up, he said, we might never have seen the house again. He said someone had apparently decided to steal the house and hired a moving company, which lifted it onto skids on wheels and began moving it toward Manorville. Although no arrests have been made, the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office said it had identified a suspect who may be charged with grand larceny or possession of stolen property. I was sitting facing the window, Dr. Calabro said, when I saw a big rigmarole. I never understood that word. Rigmarole with the police and a house. I gave it two looks. Who would ever expect to see your house go by? Think about that. Think of the shock. Dr. Calabro said he ran to the parking lot, jumped in his car, and gave chase. When he caught up with the slow-moving caravan, he pulled in front of the police escort and asked the officer, "Where are you going with my house?" The officer's response, according to Dr. Calabro, was, "What do you mean, your house?" In the meantime, the thief, who was thought to have been in a car behind the house, saw the commotion, apparently realized his plan had failed, and left the scene. Today, the house sat in the corner of the parking lot at Dr. Calabro's real estate agency, looking as out of place as a house can look. The front door was ajar, several windows were broken, the aluminum siding was ruined in many spots. Dr. Calabro said that on Tuesday, the day before his house took a ride, he took a deposit from a young couple who agreed to buy the house for about $10,000. Hopefully they will still take the house, Dr. Calabro said. Now they'll be getting a famous house. And you know, that kind of sounds like one of those, I don't know if you're familiar with Richard Scarry, I think that's his name.
I don't know if I've heard
he,
that
he,
name.
He draws these little, I was familiar with him back in the 70s and 60s. He draws these little animals of all different countries, and they get into these amazing adventures, driving down the steps of Venice or going through Sweden, things like that. You see pigs and horses and nice little animals just involved with all kinds of interesting adventures. And that's kind of the way this sounds, because it always ends with somebody saying something like, now they'll be getting a famous house, you know?
Yeah, a kicker kind of line.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny because I have that same story in front of me as covered in Newsday, and I was wondering whether the listeners would be interested in hearing a comparative presentation of that story as Newsday covered it. But for in the interest of time, perhaps whether you'd want to read the New York Times article simultaneously with my reading the Newsday article, so that it would kind of save time, and they could form a judgment for themselves.
Well, you know, I just read the New York Times article. You know, I would have done that if I had known that you had that.
Well, I know, but I
don't want to repeat myself.
Well, I can understand that, but see, in a way, you won't be repeating yourself, because if people really try hard to imagine, they could imagine that every word that you read was followed immediately by a word that I read. So it would kind of be a different story. Or you could read it backwards, and I could read mine forwards.
Well, speaking of reading things, I don't think I can read it backwards. How famous?
Well, I mean, read. Yeah, in other words, read each word. Not. Yeah, that kind
of. Still, will
yeah,
they? Hopefully,
that's the idea.
Oh, that's. Oh boy, I don't know if I can do that.
Or if you want to come around to this mic and start reading from the end of the Newsday article, and I'll start reading from the beginning, we'll kind of meet in the middle, like when the East Railroad met the West Railroad, and they drove the golden. We can drive a little golden spike into the middle of the newspaper article.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's up to you, Eric, and if you don't choose to do it, I can understand why. What I can't understand is why I suggested it.
The possibilities are endless here, literally.
They are.
Literally
which reminds me, talk about almost endless, you know that there's a rumor going around that they're going to open up a tremendous theater somewhere in the United States. It's a millionplex, a million theaters. Their motto will be a new show every nanosecond.
Oh, my goodness. When will they ever learn?
I don't know.
How big will the screens be?
It's going to be, everybody's going to get like a microscope.
Do you know where I went today?
Where'd you go?
I went to the circus.
Really?
Yes, I went to the circus.
The Ringling Brothers Circus in Manhattan.
That's the one.
At Madison Square Garden, which...
That's why I was late, in fact, because I was on my way back from
there. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Really, that's terrific.
Since I was a little kid.
The circus is great. I haven't been since I was a kid, and I've always
been since I was a little tiny kid that I go to the circus. And it's interesting, because when you go to the circus and you're not a kid anymore, you see it through adult eyes, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Mm.
And things are different.
Really?
Yeah. They are. I mean, you see... You know, you look for certain things. You look for the tricks. You look for, you ask yourself, well, how are they really doing this? Is there really, you know, some kind of trick involved here? What's really going on?
Mm.
And I'd say the thing that interested me the most was how they got the animals to do all those things. How do you get an elephant to stand on his head, you know?
Well, I guess you offer him a lot of money with a stock option and... maybe he gets some promotional tie-ins.
I'm looking for my program, which I have with me, and I'm carrying it out of my bag now. There it is. Just to show you.
It is.
I actually was there with tremendous excitement and pride that I was welcomed to the all-new 118th edition of the circus. And this one was dedicated to the clowns, because it's
that's
something like
nice.
the 20th anniversary of the Clown College or some such thing.
That's nice. Yeah, because clowns are my favorite type of circus performer. I like all the things about the circus, but most particularly the clowns. I think they do a tremendous job. Quite a skill.
The first thing they did was they blasted off two people in the cannon. It didn't really impress me that much, because they didn't go that far and they landed in the middle of a net.
Mm.
No, I mean, I could have done that, I guess, you know.
Well,
how hard is it to go hurtling through the air and land in the net?
Well, I suppose there might be a certain amount of agility that you need when you're projected that way.
That's possible, but, I mean, you're aimed at the net, and where else can you land?
Mm. Well, yeah, I guess there's not that much danger, but it's not like, I guess, walking on a high wire.
I mean, I was more scared hearing the thing go bang.
Mm.
I'm sure they weren't as scared going through the air, you know.
Mm.
Because I wasn't expecting it to go bang.
Hmm.
Anyway, it says here in the program, our hurtling heroes are headed heavenward in a bewildering barrage of boundless bravado from the world's only double-barreled cannon.
Gee, in other words, you had one in each barrel, huh?
Yeah, two of them at the same time.
Hmm.
Pretty incredible. And another point, I saw there was, I believe they called drum derries, and horses and zebras all kind of parading around in the circle. And after they did whatever they were doing, you know, jumping around and things like that, the zebras were left in the ring, and they started jumping through rings of fire, and it was really incredible. And then I said to myself, well, wait a minute, what choice do they have? I mean, they're running around in circles, there's a ring of fire in front of them, they're not going to run into the ring of fire, they're not going to turn around and go backwards because there are more zebras behind them, they're going to jump through the ring of fire. It doesn't really seem like, you know, it's all that amazing. I think what's more amazing is zebras themselves. I mean, look at these animals, they've got stripes. It's weird. What else in nature has stripes, black and white stripes, you know? And I didn't think of things like that when I was a kid.
I see.
Caught up in the aura of it and sort of believing that it's all amazing. But I think actually seeing all these elephants running around in circles. You ever see an elephant run?
Yes, I have, actually.
It's quite a sight.
It is.
Elephants look like they're from another planet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You have a number of very good points there, actually.
We forget these things.
The inherent uniqueness and wonder of many things in nature that I guess many of us take for granted until you take a close look or you think about it, which obviously you did, and those are actually very interesting observations. And
thank you.
Certainly. Seriously, I mean it. And I would, on their own, they're interesting, but I could see where they could really enhance an adult's enjoyment of something like a zoo or a circus, you'd be looking at it from somewhat of a different perspective instead of looking not necessarily looking at the acts or the actions themselves of the animal or the actions themselves of the animals, but at the animals themselves and the nature of the animals and what they just naturally are beyond what they're trained to do.
Well, you know, to be honest, I think most of the animals that were involved today were on drugs because I just don't see any way that 14 lions can sit around in a circle and take the abuse, take the sarcasm, the insults, the expressions. I mean, lions don't take that kind of stuff. You know?
Interesting point, yes.
So they have to be on something to prevent them from doing that. And I didn't really see any abuse, although the guy seemed kind of liberal with his whip. I don't know. I mean, I don't think these are happy little animals here. It's amazing they can get them to do these things, but I'm more amazed at the animals themselves and the fact that they are capable of understanding and communicating with us by doing these things. I mean, you know, elephants sitting up and they link their trunks with the tails of the elephants in front of them, and they do that naturally. It's not us telling them to do that; they do that by themselves.
Yeah, that is an extraordinary show of some instinct that they have. That's I think shows a very high sophistication. Things actually that dogs do that amaze me.
They had dogs there. They did have dogs.
Did they? Yes. Oh.
Well, all they did really was jump up and down, bark, and run in circles.
Oh, I see. I guess they're kind of like the companions to the clowns.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, a lot of clowns.
Yeah, I was going to say that I know one particular dog that is a Newfoundland.
Oh, they're good.
Yes,
they're
love
dogs.
Yes, wonderful. This Newfie is
good dispositions too. They only kill you when it's absolutely necessary.
Yes, absolutely. He's a wonderful guy. He's 180 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
And yet he's 6 years old, so he's in human terms about 42 years old. And he thinks of himself really as a pup. He's very enthusiastic. He loves to walk around. And the interesting thing is he's not really overbearing in any intentional way. He loves to walk around just sniffing the ground when he's out and around. Well, he's not from this area.
Oh. Invite him down then.
I'd have to invite him up, but I don't know if he could that easily make a trip, but some of the extraordinary things that he does that I find are extraordinary is when I go over to say hello to him, he comes bounding over. He's a very friendly dog to a lot of people. And I kneel down, and he sits down, and I start petting him, and he extends his paw, and I take his paw, and then he extends it further, and he puts it on my knee or my shoulder and repeatedly moves it against my knee or shoulder in an exact replication of what or exact duplication of what you or I would do to pet a dog. In other words, he is petting me.
That's amazing.
And it's definitely, I'm sure his intent is to either imitate what he sees me or someone else doing to him when we pet him, or this might just be an instinct that he has within him that he doesn't even need bred into him. But he pats me, and then it's as if we're making some. I usually don't see him, but maybe a couple times a year. But when we do, it's as if we're making some initial contact, some initial amenities of saying hello, and then he sometimes. If I'm standing up and I'm bending down to pet him, and he'll pet me, and then he'll sometimes jump up on his hind legs, and he'll put his forelegs on my shoulders and squeeze my shoulders, not to hurt me, but to hug me in effect. And then I give him a hug, and then we sit back down, and then he kind of lies down on his side and very calmly just rolls over on his side, and he just likes me to pet his side or rub him on his chest, and he kind of gets lulled to sleep that way.
Yeah, it's too bad the conversation always kind of dies off at that point.
Yeah.
And it's a step anyway. You know, communicating with another species.
That's right.
I think that's amazing. And we take it for granted.
Absolutely. And it's intriguing to me that he's this huge dog. He's not very interested in food. He gets one meal a day, which is perfectly adequate for him. The people that own him arrange his nutrition so that he only needs one meal a day. And they have a number of other really nice dogs that they also feed on a once-a-day schedule.
When I went up north, the dogs that lead the dog teams, they only get fed once every 2 days.
Really?
Yeah.
And apparently, you know, it's because these are people who know a lot, but one person in particular that lives with the dog knows a lot about the care of animals. So certainly these are people who know how not to abuse animals, how to care for them well. And apparently this not getting more than once a day, or I guess in the case that you mentioned, more than twice a day, because I'm sure that the huskies are well cared for, is enough for a dog, as long as the kind of food and the quantity is enough. But what's intriguing is that a lot of the other dogs, there are like 8 dogs at this place, and they... Some of them stay, there are like a couple of houses near each other, and some of them stay at one house, some of them stay at the other house, but they kind of roam around together. But they keep some of them apart from the others so it doesn't constitute a pack, because I think if it's more than a certain number of dogs, it's legally a pack and they can't have them all together. But again, they're very careful about it, and so there's never any kind of safety problem, and the dogs are all well cared for. But when they're fed, even though they're all well fed, most of the other dogs, the way I guess most dogs are in general, really love snacks, between meal snacks. And if you come out with some biscuits or a pretzel or something, they're really very enthused about coming near you to see if you have something for them. Except this one dog, and he's the biggest dog of them all, and you would think he'd be the one that was the most vociferous and the most enthused about eating, and yet you have to go over and almost coax him into eating a little snack.
Well, I'm sure he feels guilty because of all the starving dogs in the world.
Possibly. And it's just amazing. The most unassuming seems to be the largest, which I suppose, in a way, is psychologically sensible.
Most of the good-natured people I know are large people.
Are large, which, it does make sense. It really does make sense. And I've seen very small dogs getting very, who live in that area, barking at him very rambunctiously or even almost in a hostile way.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there's a little creek separating them safely from him, so they're very brave when they're across the creek. And he'll just look at them benignly, and he doesn't feel he has to prove any point or bark back or intimidate them generally. But something before I forget, you mentioned about the circus animals. Do you know how? And this is apparently a true story and not an urban myth, so to speak. Do you know how the animals in the Ringling Brothers Circus, or at least some of them, the larger ones like the elephants and the giraffes, are brought to Madison Square Garden, ultimately in the last leg of the trip? Let me just say,
I didn't see any giraffes. So maybe they don't do that anymore. But how are they brought? How could they be brought? Do they drop them out of the sky?
No.
By subway?
close, very good. Actually, you know that they do come in on the Ringling Brothers Circus train, which is the world's largest train. And
what do you mean the world's largest train?
Longest train, has the longest length of any train in the whole world. And I've seen it Once I happened to be taking a Long Island Railroad train into Penn Station. I was, at the time that I saw the circus train, I was near the Sunnyside Yards, which are, for those of you who aren't familiar, a few miles east of the tunnel that leads to Penn Station in Queens. The yards, Sunnyside Yards are in Queens. They store trains there, Amtrak and New Jersey Transit trains.
Yeah, I passed it today, in fact.
And yes, right, you would be seeing it. And one day we were traveling, and the conductor of the Long Island Railroad train got on and said, "If you, in case you're interested, we happen to have on our left the world's longest train, the Ringling Brothers circus train. Apparently, it just happened to be the day that it was coming into New York City to prepare for that year's performances at Madison Square Garden."
So they travel around by train.
They travel around by train, and the train is stored. You can sometimes see it, I guess, again, right around the Sunnyside Yards, as I think where I remember seeing it. And
well, does it look any different from a regular train?
Yes, it has Ringling Brothers on it. It has, I think, pictures relevant to the circus on it. It's quite neat looking. I'm a big train buff, so I think it's really neat looking, and it intrigued me, and it was awfully long. It was incredible, and I've seen some long freight trains in my time, but this was a tremendous train. I never even saw the end of it.
Well, was there enough room in the Sunnyside Yards to store it?
I think what they do is they store it in sections in, I don't know whether they do it in the same yard or in different, I think they store it all the way in the western part of the yards. At least they were it some years back.
Well, you know, I'll have to see that when it leaves.
It's quite extraordinary. But the thing that really is incredible is that since the train, I don't know if the train ever gets into Penn Station itself at all. Apparently, it doesn't. But since it does have to terminate its trip in Queens,
how the hell do they, how get, do they the get the animals? Do they walk over the Queensboro Bridge or something?
No, but you're very close. They come through the Midtown Tunnel.
Oh, no, they don't.
My understanding, and I heard this from somebody
who covers news. A caravan of elephants going through the Midtown Tunnel?
Yes, apparently what they do at about 2 or 2.30 in the morning of the day, I guess, that the or of the night after the circus train arrives, they're taken off the train, and they're walked through a few blocks in Queens to the Midtown Tunnel, and these large animals are walked through the tunnel. Well, I guess some of them might be taken through in cages, but the elephants are apparently walked through. They have, I guess, a convoy of police cars and such guarding them through, I guess much in the same way that you can sometimes see a missile being taken to Calverton down the Route 25 with a little police convoy. You can see elephants, apparently, although I've never seen it myself, but reliable reports tell me that you can see the if you're standing, let's say, near the entrance to on 2nd Avenue or the exit from the Midtown Tunnel coming into Manhattan, you can see these circus animals being led into Manhattan, and then they go across town to Madison Square Garden. And apparently at least once a season, that is the circus season in New York at Madison Square Garden, the animals, the larger ones anyway, are taken out and walked around the block to give them some air and exercise.
Is it dangerous to do that?
Well, I guess they do it late at night. They must stop traffic.
It's dangerous to walk around late at night. That's incredible. You know, I'll have to see that. I mean, they have to go back, right? They have to go back to Queens after the circus is over.
I guess so. I guess they must
walk over to New Jersey. Wait, you know, it was in the Meadowlands first, and it was Nassau Coliseum, and now it's in
Madison Square Garden.
So
yes.
I don't know how they arranged all that.
Well, but I suppose
I'm most interested in seeing this train.
I would love to, of course, not only see the train again, but I would love to see them walk those animals. I think that would be intriguing. I guess that you, I'm sure the pedestrians are kept away, but you probably can come up to a certain point in the sidewalk and watch as they come through.
Well, I'd like to continue this discussion and appeal to our listeners. If they know anything about either circus trains or circus animals or anything else, give us a call at 632-6901. We do have a call that's been waiting an awful long time.
Yes, yes.
If we could get to that and then continue talking about this, I think it's simply phenomenal. I never knew there was so much to this.
Sure, I'll do that right now. Hi, this is WUSB Stony Brook, and you're on the air.
Well, I'm calling about this anecdote stuff.
Sure.
I went to a all boys Catholic high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they brought in girls from other high schools.
Mm-hmm.
They bust them in or take a train?
They made them take the train.
They made them take the train.
You mean
they were required to come to the mixer?
Do you see a parallel here, Jim?
Well, I see it, but I don't want to say it.
Okay. That's just an interesting parallel. Go ahead. Tell us about this mixer.
Okay, so what happened was, like, everybody was there, like 400 people. The band started to play, and one guy started a break dance.
Uh-oh.
Then all the brothers came over, and...
All the brothers?
All of them.
Okay.
And they told everybody to step back. This man's having an epileptic seizure. They took him out.
And what happened after that point?
Then they gave him detention for lewd behavior.
Really? How long ago did this happen?
What?
How long ago did this happen?
Like 2 years ago.
2 years.
Wow.
That must have...
Well, at least they didn't give him any Dilantin or something.
No, that's true.
That could have been worse. Detention is probably better for that kind of thing.
Did he have to serve his detention at a dance academy?
No.
Oh, that's actually quite a story.
You know, I haven't seen... Actually, I did see a couple of people breakdancing last night somewhere in New York City, but I haven't seen as much of it recently, certainly. What's happened to breakdancing?
I don't know, but have you ever seen slam dancing? I've read about it. I've never seen it.
I've seen that.
Have you ever been in
the Stony Brook Union.
Have you actually ever been in a group within a group of people that are slam dancing?
Yeah, I was pretty close to it. In fact, I forget who it was.
You never actually got slammed into though.
No, I got pushed once, but they didn't do that again. But people get up on the stage and then they dive off and head first, you know. And I don't know how they do it, but you know, no one really gets hurt. People do get hurt a little bit, but they don't really get hurt. So. Slam dancing, yeah. I mean, what's next? Slam dancing? I mean, break dancing really doesn't compare to that.
No.
Break dancing is more of an art.
Right, yeah. Oh, yes, I wasn't necessarily saying that the two were exactly, you know, were comparable, just that I'm just talking about specialized forms of dancing that, where there's a tremendous physical activity.
Oh, dear, what was that?
A tremendous amount of it. Well, actually, I noticed the light went off and on rather quickly, and I heard something kick in. In our equipment.
Let me go in and check. So you take care of this next call, and I will
I'll do that.
Equipment for damage.
I'll do that. I'd like to thank the other caller for calling. We are still on the air here at WUSB. We may have had a bit of a change in our equipment status because of possibly the storm outside. Although that may have just been... perhaps the cassette? No, I guess not. Well, let's see. Things look normal as far as our power output is concerned, so I guess there's no need to... no need of great urgency here. But anyway, we'll take our next call here at 90.1
FM.
Don't mind me. WUSB, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Tell me about the anecdotes.
Sure. Anecdotes? Sure.
Yeah,
go right ahead.
I was on a Boy Scout weekend with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hanging out with all my friends on top of a lean-to smoking cigarettes, like.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been smoking for years, and I know, you know, I didn't want my brother to find out because I always felt he'd always tell my parents.
Uh-huh.
So my brother nonchalantly walks over while I, like, stash my cigarette, and he kind of, like, leans against a tree and turns to me and goes, "So, is anyone going to offer me a cigarette?" I just had to turn to my friend and say, "Give me my goddamn cigarette back."
Well...
Wow.
That's that is the unexpected there, but I think we'll just let the story rest as it is.
Yeah. 632-6901. A perceptive kid, I guess.
Yes, I suppose so.
Anecdotes. I'm trying to think. I mean, I know I have lots of anecdotes, but I can't think of one on demand, you know?
No. I was trying to think of some situations that
You don't want to start this.
I know. I feel a little guilty that I can't myself come up with anything that's applicable here. Let me see.
I know Chris Crowley's walking around the station, and if anyone's got a lot of anecdotes, he does.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Let me see something that was totally unexpected. Let's see. Something having to do with food, perhaps. Well, there was one time when I drank I was very thirsty. I think I had just eaten a big piece of chocolate cake, and I was very thirsty. And I took a huge glass of milk, ice-cold milk. I couldn't wait to drink it, and I just gulped it down. And then I noticed about halfway down this 10-ounce glass that the milk was totally sour.
I see.
And, I got very upset, and I remember all I could do was put my glass down and go, And that kind of cracked me up, because I was picturing myself going, And realizing that that had no metabolic value whatsoever. And I didn't get sick, so it was a happy ending. But speaking of cracking up, I... Another tape begins its journey.
I'm just thinking the people that listen why you're doing
that. That's right. I don't know why I'm doing it. See, the program director, Chris Kelly, has just woken. He's making a notation. Should never be on the air again. And
Chris must have an anecdote.
The classical program every third Saturday will no longer...
I notice we have two lines ringing when we have three more available.
He is never to be on brain damage again, Eric. He's writing a note to you, Eric. Eric, if you ever put this man on...
Oh, if we don't get more calls...
I better do that.
We'll have to conclude that Long Islanders don't have anecdotes, and then we'll have to go to Idaho or something
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right. We'll have to go for Idaho anecdotes.
I mean, it's bad enough people over in that part of the country have the primaries first and get to decide everything for us.
That's right.
But they get the best anecdotes too. Come
apparently
on.
They do. I guess the strength in anecdotes follows the strength in primary states.
Long Island and Connecticut too. Let's open up to Connecticut. If you have anecdotes,
right.
give us a call. And our listeners in Wisconsin, I understand, were piped over on a cable system in Wisconsin, which is very nice.
Is that so?
A town of about 23 people. Yes.
Truly.
Truly.
Truly. This is you know. This is not a Corley funny.
I don't make light of things like this.
No, I didn't mean that you were making fun of Wisconsin or the 23 people there.
Well,
I certainly
don't mean to do that.
No, I just meant that you're not kidding that we're piped into a cable system in Wisconsin.
Oh, we most certainly are.
That's fantastic, really. Yeah. That's wonderful. Hello, Wisconsin. Yeah. I love your cheese.
Wisconsin, give us a call. Area code 516-632-6901.
That's 516-632-6901.
Hey, we're serious. You know,
we are.
None of these other three lines are lighting up. We're not kidding.
That's
we're
right.
We're not kidding here.
But as a matter of fact, we're getting darned irritated about this.
Don't
I
make
feel
us
just
call
the way
you.
I felt when I drank the 5 ounces of sour milk.
Don't make us call you because
we'll start reading the house moving story again.
We already know your numbers because when you call us, we have your numbers written down. That's right. We trace every call. Uh-oh, we lost a caller.
Well,
we trace every call we get.
No, we don't trace every call we get. We trace the outline of the telephone that we use to answer the calls with.
We have a full profile on all of our listeners.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It only
really?
Takes up a little bit of an IBM PC.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we sort of crunch it so that it saves memory.
That's doesn't it break the computer when you crunch it?
No. We do it in a special way.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I see. Well, speaking of crunching, let's see. Here,
we still have three lines
I'll
open.
Just clean this corn chip off with the...
We have two lines open now.
We have...
And for every call that we get, we understand that... What is it? The Public Broadcasting Service will match that call.
I thought that for every call we get, the Public Broadcasting Service
we only have one line
silly.
Left. We only have one line left. Let's get that
now
one line filled, and then we can start going to the calls.
That's right.
Oh, we lost the call, so we're going to have to get two more lines now. I mean, you know, we're not, for every step we take forward, we take one back. That's not going to get us anywhere, folks.
No.
Now, come on, if you're in a car now, even if it's pouring rain, pull over. It's probably safer to pull over.
Absolutely.
And pick up that phone and dial that number, 632-6901.
That's
we lost the call, we gained another.
6901, 516 area code if you live outside Nassau or Suffolk counties.
That's right. Area code 516-632-6901. If we only have three listeners... FCC law says we have to go off the air.
Well, do they?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
read
my.
The manual.
Oh, my.
Page 36. Okay, we have one more line to light.
Oh,
if somebody lights that one line and no one else hangs up, our license will be renewed. There it is.
And my library card will be renewed, too.
Okay.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, we got cool listeners.
Here we go. WUSB, you're on the air.
Hey, you guys aren't in delay, man.
Yeah, and
what
observation,
delay,
I think we'll delay that phone call for the next 100 years.
Okay,
if somebody
next
is
call.
That impressed. WUSB, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm on the air.
Yes.
Is CR2 open?
Oh.
I'm sorry, can you take me off the air?
No problem. Well, it is open, and I'll take you off the air. Well, no, I don't know if it's open.
Tell them to call the office line.
Call the office line, and someone will let you know if it's open. I they may even have a free salad bar in there.
Yes, that's true.
They may even have a free salad bar in there.
Okay, I'll be right there, okay?
Well, I don't know if it's open, so call the office line first to make sure.
The salad bar is open 24 hours.
I'll call the main number. What's the main number?
If you don't know that, you shouldn't work for the station. Go to the next call.
The main number?
Well, should I give them the main number?
Well, we can't give that over the air.
Oh, we can't?
No.
90.1, right?
Go to the next call.
Okay.
we're
over
too, staff members don't know what's going on.
Okie dokie.
Next call.
Okay.
632-6901.
WUSB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I don't know. Even what program this is. I just kind of felt sorry for you guys.
that's very nice of you.
Tell us.
What am I listening to here?
This is the name of this program is Brain Damage. It's not a neurological symposium. Well, actually, I should let Eric really talk about it. It's his program.
Well, I don't know.
Eric, go for it, Eric.
Can he hear me?
Oh, no. Well, can you listen to your radio? Are you listening to your radio?
No, not actually. No.
Okay, then I guess I'll have to tell you. Brain Damage is what you could call a free-form talk show. It's hosted by a gentleman named Eric Corley, who is the other person
over here,
who is on the program tonight. It's just that because of the location of the studio he's in, you can't hear him over the phone. You have to hear him on the radio.
Can't hear me at all.
But what Eric does is he has a couple hours on Saturday night where he sometimes comes with certain topics in mind to discuss, or just lets it flow completely freely and lets the audience, or just lets what comes off the top of his head or his guest's head. Guests' heads, we all don't share one head, determine what the topics will be, or it's a mixture thereof. We sometimes, what we have tonight is a suggested topic of describing a situation that you encountered that was expected to be very mundane and commonplace, but turned out to be something totally unexpected and therefore very amusing. But if there's something else that you'd want to discuss, we're completely open to that.
Well, actually, I tell you what, you mentioned that. I hadn't heard it previously, but there was a weird experience that happened to me today that fits that very topic.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. I was walking down the street, and all of a sudden these guys, big guys of racial...
Well. Now, there's one or two constraints that I have to place... on the nature of the stories here. As I said, it's free form, but maybe it's like maybe 0.99 or like 99% free form. We don't want to get into any ethnic or racial references because you may not intend to offend anybody, but sometimes people understandably may, you know, everybody has his own perspective and someone may be offended by something, and so we kind of steer away from that.
We may be offended.
In fact, yeah, you never know. We made me offended. So again, if you think the story would kind of go that way, maybe you better try for a different story.
Yeah.
And this is of no offense to you or, you know, to anybody, but we're just looking to avoid any possible ambiguity.
We don't want to get anyone upset.
Understood.
Yeah.
We do
appreciate very much your calling. It was very nice of you to call.
Well, I'm always trying to help, you know, help the effort here.
Can you ask where the caller is calling from?
Yeah, what town are you calling from?
All from Stony Brook.
Oh, from the campus or off campus?
From off campus, yeah.
Oh, and you do listen to the station?
Sure do.
That's wonderful. We really appreciate
that. Actually, I won an album off of our Ron Phillips show the other day.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Take care. Okay,
wow.
632-6901, 632-6901.
Area code 516.
If you're calling outside Nassau or Suffolk counties, here on 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Let me just point out a very unusual thing here.
Yes.
The very top line is ringing and the very bottom line is ringing, and also the office line is ringing. It's like all these lines in the middle. I've never seen that pattern before. It's simply incredible.
It is. Now we have another line coming in.
Another one just came in.
So we have to go to the
top line first, I think.
Would that be the office line?
No, the top line
just,
is the one beginning
below
with
the office line, right.
Yeah, well, it's different on my phone. My phone is all over the place.
I see, I understand.
You better hurry up. They're all lighting
up. WUSB, you're on the air.
Oh, USB office line.
What?
Oh, well, I don't really think this is the USB office line.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how about this? How about I play the phone's ringing, and it will correspond exactly with what you hear, or the lights that you see flashing, okay?
Let's hear this.
Okay.
That's incredible.
That is.
It's beautiful, too.
It is. This is a multimedia experience, ladies and gentlemen.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
It is.
Get rid of it.
I guess I have to. Thank you for calling.
632-6901.
WUSB, you're on the air.
Yeah,
hello?
They waited a long time just to do that.
They did. And then actually, I have to give them credit. I don't know. Yes, I have to give them credit, but I don't know who lost out more on that, us or them.
Well, if they want to get credit for it, they should call 211 because they're going to get charged.
That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
WUSB, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have an anecdote.
This sure.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, okay, how are you?
All right. All right, it's called the anecdote of well, it's not called, it's called Moby Dick, okay? I have to like, drink a lot of water for this, so hold on just a second.
Say, Eric, what do you think? You think, maybe, we want to wait around for the end of this, story?
Oh, we do have another phone call. Thank goodness for that.
Well, should I go to the other phone call?
Yeah.
WUSB, you're on the air. Hello? WUSB, you're on the air. Oh, it's Marcel Marceau. I'm sorry. How you doing, Mr. Marceau? How's it going?
Oh, now he just winked out his light.
I guess so.
632-6901.
Area code 516.
We should extend an invitation to the people who know anything about the circus train, because I'd really like
definitely
to know more about that.
Yeah, yeah. If you do know anything about the Ringling Brothers circus train, or any circus train for that matter.
Or any unusual train. You know,
right.
I went down to Ronkonkoma to take the train into the city to see the circus today. And the reason I did that, I mean, being right up here in Stony Brook, I should have taken the Stony Brook train, right?
Yeah.
But no, the trains here run
less
sometimes frequently. Every 2 hours, sometimes even less than that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the trains in Ronkonkoma now run an hourly schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They leave, I believe, every hour at 6 minutes after, which is incredible. I mean,
it
you
is.
Know
it's
a train's going to be there, and they leave Penn Station at a quarter after every
yes.
hour. So
yes.
I had more options open. I didn't know what time I would be finished doing what I had to do. So, rather than run for a train to Stony Brook and miss it and have to wait 2.5 hours in Penn Station, which, of course, ordinarily I would never pass up the opportunity to sit in Penn Station for 2 hours. But on a night like this, when I want to be here on the radio, I didn't want to do that. And that's why Ronkonkoma made a lot more sense. And,
absolutely.
And I've never been on that line before. And it was incredible to see all these different stations that I never went to before. Brentwood, Central Islip, Wyandanch, you know.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, actually, I'm, as I said, quite a train freak, and I love traveling on lines that I've never traveled on before. And, matter of fact, what I really love is the Babylon branch has what they call on some of their... as a matter of fact, I see Eric has a Babylon branch timetable right there.
I have a timetable for every train on Long Island.
That's great. That's great. I have a number of them myself for the branches. They have what they call flyers, and these flyers leave Babylon... and take about sometimes under 50 minutes to get into Penn Station.
They
and
skip every stop and go straight to Manhattan.
Just about. There are three of them. Maybe it stops at Freeport and Jamaica and then Penn Station. There are some other trains.
That's quite a detour. That's Freeport.
Wait,
that's
wait.
Jamaica. I thought you meant...
Oh,
no.
I see what you mean.
Okay.
No, that's the Bermuda branch.
Yeah.
Or, I mean the Caribbean branch.
Well, you know... Sometimes I hear they don't stop at Penn Station and they end up in Newark.
Really?
Yeah.
That must be very surprising.
Theoretically,
to the,
that can happen.
Yes, it can. As a matter of fact, there used to be a train years and years and years ago, that left Montauk and left Washington and ended up in Montauk.
Was that
and
a fact?
It's actually no joke. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I bet the people of Montauk didn't think it was a joke. What kind of train was it?
It was a train. Excuse me. It was a train that was, I don't know who owned it at the time. I guess it was the Pennsylvania Railroad, if I'm not mistaken.
Penn Central?
I think it was even before then, when it was just the Pennsylvania Railroad. And they actually had a continuous... A route. I mean, there still exists such a route, but they used it where they went from Washington all the way up into Penn Station in New York, and then you can just continue out to Long Island.
Instead of going to Boston like you do these days.
Right. You could, yes, instead of going off to Boston, they went to Long Island. And, you know, the Pennsylvania Railroad used to own the Long Island Railroad for a time. As a matter of fact, that's why you'll notice...
I didn't know they owned the Long Island.
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, you'll notice it happens to be the 75th anniversary of Jamaica Station.
I noticed that, yeah.
And if you ever pass through Jamaica Station on one of the lower tracks, by that I mean the north end tracks 1 or 2, let's say, where you can get a good look at the main building of the Long Island Railroad that's just north of the station proper, you'll notice little keystones cut into the... little keystone patterns cut into the concrete of the building, of the facade of the building,
uh-huh.
And that's, I imagine, because it was once owned by the Pennsylvania Railroad.
Well, to this day, in Penn Station, you can see signs that say Pennsylvania Trains.
That's right.
And to people who don't know that the Penn Central used to be the name of the company, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. As a matter of fact,
Pennsylvania Trains, what does that mean?
Exactly. What's worse is I've wondered what it is to someone who's not familiar with New York City or its subway system, pulling in to the 7th Avenue line's 34th Street station, which on some sign says Pennsylvania. It just says Pennsylvania. I mean, some poor guy gets on at 14th Street, right? And he thinks he's going up to 34th Street, let's say, to go visit Macy's.
That.
And he thinks he's in Pennsylvania.
Not only that, but in Penn Station, in the middle of the concourse, they haven't even replaced the subway signs with the new letters that they designated. It still says double A, double C, and those, I mean, there is no double A. The double A train is now a K.
That's right.
How is anyone going to know that double A is really the K
if they
don't know that already?
No, I guess it's one of those...
CC, you might be able to figure out that it's now the C.
That's right.
And QB, you might be able to figure out it's the Q.
It's Q, yeah.
But I don't know about these other ones.
No,
it's not much. You know, it's not much to take a sticker and just put it over.
It isn't. It's very true. It isn't.
I really don't
know
what's wrong with those people.
But, no.
But talking about the Long Island, well, first of all, that reminds me of something else. The IRT lines that run up the east and the west side of Manhattan.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew this, but the very first line ever started at City Hall and ended up on the upper west side someplace. And
yes.
The way that they did that was they turned left at the Grand Central Station, took what is now the shuttle,
right,
and went up and turned onto the 7th Avenue line.
Yes,
in fact, you can still see the platforms at the Times Square end of the shuttle. That platforms can be removed so that the train can go through there.
That's right, absolutely. That's absolutely
something that always fascinates me.
It's intriguing. Yes, it is. I was intrigued by that.
But what intrigues me more on the Long Island branch are all those old stations right by Jamaica, you know, the really old, decrepit-looking ones.
Yes, I think some of them are being modified. You mean, do you mean east or west?
I mean east.
East of them. As you're coming, when you came in today, you mean on the Ronkonkoma line?
Well, whatever line I come in on, when I hit Jamaica, I see these old concrete stations. They don't have any names on them.
Oh, I see, yes. I think
actually,
you're talking about the old... go ahead.
I used to hang out at one when I was a little kid.
It
was called Hillside, and that's before they made the new Hillside station that trains occasionally stop at to let employees off at. There was another Hillside station.
Oh, so that's what that was.
It was just an abandoned platform, and you could see the trains go by. But there's other ones, too. There's other abandoned platforms that I don't know what the names are.
Well, I was going to ask you first about the Hillside. I think they call it the Hillside Facility now.
Yeah, that's the official name.
What is that used for? In other words, why do they let employees off there?
It's something to do with, I don't really know. They're building something there. I think it's for storage of trains or something.
Oh, maybe, maybe some employees have to do work there. I think
it's where the time clock is located, so everyone has to get off there.
And punch in and out. My gosh, can you imagine if somebody has to begin a run in Montauk, he has to go to Hillside first?
I don't know.
He lives in Montauk, goes to Hillside.
It's incredible, when the train stopped there and the passengers don't know why it's stopping and they say Hillside and they never heard of it before.
Yeah, that's intriguing. I wonder if they'll ever open it for regular passenger use. It might be a useful thing.
If anyone knows the names of those abandoned stations going along Jamaica, I'd love to know about that.
Actually, there is the one that is just east of Jamaica.
Yeah, that's the one I'm especially interested
in. That used to be Union Hall Street.
Union Hall Street.
I'm putting the wrong emphasis. Union Hall Street. I guess there must have been a Union Hall there years ago. Union Hall Street. It used to be, even though just about all the branches pass through there, all the trains of all the branches pass through there, that was a stop on the Hempstead line.
Well, now, is there a stop that you could throw a stone and hit the Jamaica station?
I would surmise it was because, I could be wrong, but I think it's because at the time that station was very active, the Long Island Railroad was serving not only Long Island to a great extent, but was a big service entity in Queens, more so than it is now.
Uh-huh.
And there must have been a lot of people who lived right in that area east of Jamaica, and maybe to avoid too much congestion at the Jamaica station, they had that other station there east of there. And I can remember trains stopping there. I'm not exactly sure when they closed it, but I think it was in use into the late 70s on the Hempstead line.
Really?
Yes.
It looks so much odd because
I used to hang out
in the 1960s at an abandoned station, and it was abandoned for a while.
Yeah, that was, I guess that was the Hillside. Was that the Hillside one?
That was the old Hillside station.
There's another station. I don't know if you can still see it. I don't know if it's still any part of it is still visible. That's west of Jamaica on the Brooklyn branch in Queens called Woodhaven. that trains used to stop at an underground station, and I can remember seeing, even after it was closed down, you could see the tiles of the station, and I know that I think they've built some new stations east of the Hillside Station to replace stations that now are, you know, look much older when you go through them. They're, I guess, falling apart, but I think Queens Village might be one of the new ones.
Well, Queens,
I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Queens Village is a new one. It's got very narrow platforms. You can only stand about one abreast of
wow.
that
wow.
station. I might also add, though, while we're talking about replacing stations, I just read today that the Port Jefferson Station is going to get a new raised platform. In fact, they just, in the last 2 weeks, built a new platform to the west of it, a non-raised platform that's a temporary platform
for
when they're reconstructing the other one. So Stony Brook's going to be the only station left without a raised platform.
Really? I guess, is that in preparation that they're raising the platform at Port Jeff for electrification?
Well, I don't know if it's for electrification, but it's so that they don't have to slam down the stairs of the diesel train when it comes
in. I see.
Here. Except what they're going to have to do is slam it down for Stony Brook and then bring it back up again.
That's true. So
it's kind of silly.
Well, then I would imagine it's probably because they eventually, because I think they usually raise platforms when they expect there to be electrification.
If anyone would like to see the platform of the future Stony Brook station, take a trip down to St. James, and you'll see it all lying in a pile of rubble to the west of the St. James station. That is the Stony Brook platform sitting there, just waiting to be transported over. In fact, if you want to transport it yourself, bring it over. I'm sure they'll be happy to have your help.
Hmm.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that, should I?
No, not really. I guess they really...
But no one's going to take a 17-ton
piece of
cement and move it, I don't think.
I wouldn't think so. But speaking of local stations here, do you know there used to be a station called Flowerfield that I think was located between, it was either between St. James and Stony Brook or between Smithtown and St. James?
You don't say, by the Flowerfield, the train
there
goes right through the Flowerfield complex.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
And
well, one other thing, before we go to these calls,
yeah, sure.
I know whenever you talk about trains, you get lots of calls. 632-6901 is our phone number. I have a city terminal zone schedule, too. And I noticed some stations that I've never heard of before that are in the city.
Is that Long Island City?
Long Island City, Penny Bridge, Haberman.
Haberman, Glendale.
Glendale, Fresh Pond, and Richmond Hill. Where are these stations?
These stations are on a spur that goes, I think it's called the Montauk Line. I could be wrong about that terminology. Even though, not to confuse things, there's a Montauk Line between Babylon and Montauk on the east end of Long Island.
But these are
there's
west
also
of Jamaica.
Like a Montauk branch that's actually considered west of Jamaica. It actually, it's considered to go, I guess, from about Valley Stream through St. Albans, through Jamaica, and then technically I think it continues to Long Island City. And in fact, there is a, you know, I guess you're familiar with the Hunters Point Avenue station.
I've seen it, but I've never actually been there.
It's located just south, I mean, northeast of the Midtown Tunnel.
And it's right next to the number 7 train.
And it is right next to number 7 train. It's a convenient way to get to the east side of Manhattan without having to go to Penn Station first and then come back from the west side. But if you were to continue past Hunters Point Avenue, and if you were to do that, the conductor would ask you what the heck you were doing on the train, since that's the end of that particular spur, you would end up meeting the Long Island City Station. But the Long Island City Station, in terms of passenger service, is reached through this branch that's west of Jamaica that goes through, I guess it's Glendale and Richmond Hill and Penny Bridge and Haberman and such, and ending at Long Island City, which used to be, I guess, I don't know whether it was Hunters Point Avenue or Long Island City, I guess either or both of them were at one time used as the main western terminals of the Long Island Railroad before it went into Penn Station. One would take a ferry from, I guess, around 34th Street on the east side over to, I guess, Long Island City.
And that's incredible.
Because I think Hunters Point Avenue was actually in Long Island City anyway. And then you'd... I was going to say that what's interesting is that somebody told me who uses that line to get to Long Island City. They only have a few trains a day. That you get off and you're actually in the yards, in the storage yards. I mean, there's a place to accommodate passengers, and then you're a couple blocks away from the number 7 at a different stop.
Is that the Sunnyside Yards? Is that where it ends up?
I don't think so. I think it ends up further west of there.
Does it go through the Sunnyside
near
Yards
near the Midtown Tunnel?
There?
No, I don't think it does.
Because, you know, there are only three trains a day that go through that period. One train in the morning.
Right.
and two trains in the afternoon that come out of there, and that's it. There's nothing else that goes through there.
Yes, those are Oyster Bay diesel trains that service that Long Island City. I've never taken that. I intend to take that trip once to see what it's like, especially when I get out in the middle of the yards.
I'm dying to know what kind of people get out at Fresh Pond and Penny Bridge.
Well, I think it's people who work in... they probably have a number of industries there, because I was on the train once and started a conversation with a gentleman who turned out uses the Long Island City stop a lot. And the way he put it, he said it was a convenient way to get to where he wanted to get in Manhattan, the east side. And he said that riding on the Long Island City branch is like taking a tour of industrial Queens, is how he put it. So there must be a lot of factories and industry and such there that people probably work where people probably work, and they probably get off and get on there.
I consider the Hunters Point Avenue station or line mysterious enough, and that only runs part of the day, too. But the Long Island City line is even more mysterious because there's only one train that goes there in the morning, period.
Yes.
If you miss that, you don't go to Long Island City.
Exactly. What I'm intrigued by is there anybody who lives in, let's say, Haberman, and works in Long Island City and uses that train just to go from Haberman to Long Island City and then back again?
Well, if you do that in rush hour, it'll cost you $3.75.
What do you do if you have a monthly ticket? How much do you have to pay for that?
Let's see. You would have to pay $82.
Hmm.
And you probably walk and get more exercise.
Possibly.
Let's give out the number, 632-6901.
632-6901, area code 516. For those of you who are non-Nassau Suffolk denizens.
Yes, and if you have any information on trains, we're talking about trains for some reason.
Yes, here at 90.1 FM, WUSB.
Stony
Brook. You're on the air, WUSB.
Sit tight and listen keenly while I play for you another brand new musical bit.
Big Audio Dynamite.
Yeah.
I wonder why they're calling.
Hmm.
Person waited a long time to do that.
I'll say.
Give him credit for it. Next call.
Yes. WUSB, you're on the air. Well.
How about that? The same kind
intriguing.
Of...
I think we have a double gang effect here, because I see the phone ringing once again. Let's see if this person hangs up also. WUSB, you're on the air.
I'm Hunter's Point.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yes, the Penny station is just south of that.
Penny Bridge?
Yeah, it's right by the Penny Bridge, I believe.
Oh, I see.
So, I
see.
Yeah, it's right outside that.
I think you can see that bridge from the Long Island Expressway right after you go, when you're going east, right after you come out of the Midtown Tunnel.
That's the Hunter's Point.
Well, to your left. That's north, but south of the Long Island Expressway, the Long Island City branch.
You can actually see it when you're going over the going through the tunnel by the Long Island Expressway.
Really? I see. Yes. Now I know what you're talking about.
What is this bridge?
I guess it's called Penny Bridge.
Well, what's it a bridge over?
Excuse me?
It's an actual bridge. Is that correct?
Does it go over a body of water?
Oh, yeah, it goes over a small body. I think it's called the Newtown Canal.
Oh, is that Newton Creek?
Yeah, Newton Creek, that's it.
Oh, I see. Now the puzzles are beginning to fit together.
That's
very interesting. Thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Very nice.
People do know about
these
things.
Yeah. WUSB, you're on the air.
Good evening. How are you guys?
Good evening. How are you?
Good. I have to tell you, I'm a commuter.
Yes.
I live in Northport.
Yes.
But I take the train from Huntington.
Uh-huh.
Into Penn Station or Atlantic Avenue.
Right.
Now, you guys are not casual train riders.
No, that would be an accurate description. I know of myself, and I guess of Eric also. I don't want to speak for him, but...
What's a casual...
It's unbelievable for a commuter to hear this train program, because the thing is that I don't think people out here appreciate, the kind of things that can happen to you when you're riding the train. I mean, for example, the delays. When they instituted the electric service from Ronkonkoma to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Just, a month or so now?
Yes.
What happened was they didn't go out and buy new cars. They took cars from the Port Jeff line, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
and they simply diverted them to Ronkonkoma.
Mm-hmm.
So, not only did you now have, half the world getting on at Hicksville, people who used to ride, I guess, to Jamaica and then switch for New York,
mm-hmm.
From Ronkonkoma on the diesels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they did to these poor souls, they told them, look, guys, we're going to have electric service to New York, what they did was they made all these people get out at Hicksville so that they could then take the cars and run them back to Ronkonkoma. And they made them get on trains that were originating in Port Jeff and then, you know, became electric at Huntington. And so some of these people had switched trains three times.
Excuse me, I don't want to interrupt, but I just want to understand. In other words, if you were to be getting on, let's say normally you'd get on at Huntington.
Right.
Normally, before the electrification program went into effect, you would get on to an electric train at Huntington and take it right into Manhattan?
Right.
Or into Atlantic Avenue?
Right.
But under the new program, what they did was they took some of the rolling stock off the Huntington branch and put it onto the Ronkonkoma branch?
That's what we seem to think.
And
are they putting you on a diesel?
No. You see, what they're doing is they're telling people from Ronkonkoma that what will happen is that they'll be on a direct electric. Well, they don't actually
right.
say direct electric from Ronkonkoma to New York. What they say is electrified service from Ronkonkoma to
right.
New York. Okay? So what they do to these people from Ronkonkoma is they make them get out at Hicksville.
Oh. Oh.
They put these people on trains from Huntington.
Oh.
And now, can you imagine what happens on some of these rush hour trains?
In other words, there's extra crowding.
In other words, it's already crowded.
Right.
Already have. What happens is, now, I've been riding the train for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, your show is so funny because I'm lying in bed and I'm thinking, okay, now how can I continue this? You know, how can I keep living on the island and commuting to New York? Because it's an excruciation, really.
Uh-huh.
You know? But here you have these poor souls who get on in Huntington, and you already can't get a seat by the time you get to Syosset.
Uh-huh.
Like, in Huntington, if you're not on that train, say, 5 minutes before it's ready to leave, you
mm-hmm.
don't get a seat.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you know, so what happens is that by the time they switch these people from the Ronkonkoma line at Hicksville, well, I mean, you have people standing in the aisles all the way to Manhattan from Hicksville.
Now, do you take a very early train in the morning?
Well, it's been varying lately. I used to take a 6:17 from Huntington, and now I've taken, say, a 7:23 from Huntington,
mm-hmm.
which is a Brooklyn train,
mm-hmm.
and a 7:38. And funny enough, the 6:17, you used to be able to, you know, you could bring all your relatives and have a picnic on this train.
Uh-huh.
Well, now you can't get a seat in Huntington when this thing pulls out.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the schedule, and I noticed that the 4:46 train out of Ronkonkoma says switch at Hicksville, but I don't see any other train that says that.
No, they don't say it. You see, and I was talking to a few guys who are conductors, and they feel awful about it because what happens is that they can't open both sides of the train at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll open the doors. Now, I can't recall, but I've started to notice that when you get to Hicksville, there are two trains or two groups of people waiting to get on. It seems to me they always open the door for these people on the Ronkonkoma line waiting to get into the train.
Mm.
You know, these are, in other words, the new people at the stop. They open the door on that side last.
You mean on which side last? The Ronkonkoma side or the side other than the Ronkonkoma side?
Ronkonkoma side.
I think you're saying they open the Ronkonkoma side first and let all the people who are at Hicksville?
No, opposite. They open the Ronkonkoma side last.
I see.
So even though there are more people on the Ronkonkoma side, the, you know, normal Hicksville people who were on that line before, they seem to be letting them in first, you know, and it's making things really rough.
Yeah, well, I think what's happened here is that the train company wasn't prepared for the onslaught of people that would switch to Ronkonkoma. I mean, as I was saying before, it just seems so much more convenient to know that the train leaves every hour at a certain time rather than try to figure mm-hmm. it out. I mean, if you miss the 4:18 here at Stony Brook, you can't get into the city until you take an 8:40 train out of Stony Brook.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy.
And the thing is, I can't believe now, I live in Northport, so I'm in the same zone as Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, if you take the train from New York, you know, in the afternoon, you get out to Huntington, you wait 45 minutes for a diesel to come through. So I think that the people further east are really stuck.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you can get a Huntington train,
mm-hmm.
ends, and then you wait like 45 minutes for a diesel connection, you know. I wanted to ask you, what do you think about commuting from like Ronkonkoma? That's got to be bad news.
Well, I mean, yeah, I know you can't find a parking space. It's very hard to find a parking space. I find it more beneficial myself, being in Stony Brook, to drive all the way into Huntington, because not only is the price much lower, but I always find a space somewhere, and it's a shorter trip, and I get a nice drive out of it, too.
Well, you know, one thing here, and I hate to say this on the air like this, but that garage is paid for by federal monies, in part.
Uh-huh.
So people who are not residents can park in the garage.
Oh, really?
Now, only in the garage.
I didn't know that.
Now, I've announced it on the radio.
Well, that should be known.
The thing is, you know, the thing is that there is some sort of thing where people who are not residents of the town can apply for non-resident parking stickers simply for the garage.
Are you talking about Ronkonkoma or Huntington? Okay.
And I think it's like $15 for the year or something like that.
So you do have to pay.
No, but they seem to sell these stickers as well as I happen to know, because I studied this thing when they put that garage in. And one of my questions at a town board meeting were, I said, well, if this is being paid for by federal monies, and that means that anybody can come and park there. And they said, yes. You know, apparently you don't need a sticker or anything. Now, people don't know that, because you see these people parking a mile away in the street, you know, and trying to make their way to the station.
Yeah, you park in the forest because...
Yeah, it could take you 40 minutes just to get to the platform.
Uh-huh.
But I would check that out, you know, for some of you people way out.
Yeah.
You know, way out east. But, yeah, how do you guys come to have all this interest in the train?
Well, speaking personally, I just develop an interest watch. I don't know what it is about trains, but somehow I can't imagine getting excited over buses, you know. But seeing trains go by, people line up to take pictures of trains. They collect model trains. They watch them go by. I don't know. There's something about a train.
Do you remember in the old days on the Long Island Railroad when on the diesels were the seats? Now, some of the seats, I guess, still swing back and forth, you
mm-hmm.
know. Where you could, like, have this giant party with two seats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you remember
Remember on the windows, they had those little clips and shades going
yes.
up and down?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember the double-decker cars?
Double-deckers.
On the diesels?
No,
they were electric. They were electric cars.
Oh, that's right. They were. Excuse me. You're right. And I think they were converted. They were all electric.
I'm told that the cars that are running the diesels now used to be electric.
They used to be electric.
But what happened to the double decker cars?
The double decker cars were. I think one reason why they went out of use was that it was difficult for some of the employees to deal with, even though some of the people riding them found them intriguing. Those, I guess particularly who rode on top, liked the idea of having such a high view. And even those who rode on the bottom, for those of you who aren't familiar, what you would do is you'd walk onto the car like you would onto any kind of car that you might onto, let's say, a diesel train now. But instead of having seats on level with the floor that you walked onto when you walked onto the car, you either could step a couple steps down to some seats that were practically right down at track level, which was intriguing if you liked to look at the mechanics of the track, or you stepped up a couple of seats and sat on seats that were way up near the roof of the train, the inside roof of the train.
Unbelievable.
And yes, it was. And apparently what people found who worked for the railroad, and I guess I can understand this difficult about it, was that the conductors, when they collected tickets, had to strain to up or strain down to collect the tickets. And
a lot of lower back pain came out.
Yeah, yeah. Or stretched tendons, I guess, in the case of reaching up for the top seats. And the cleaning crews found it difficult to have to contend with. There was more area to have to, in effect, have to clean, have to go up and down and up and down. And so I could understand that. But I don't know if those were the determining factors that put them out of use.
I'd like to know what actually became of those cars.
That's a good question. I I have a couple of books on the Long Island Railroad that I'm reading now, and I'll see if any mention is made of them. The question the listener asked about how he got interested in trains, I just naturally, since I was a very young child, since I was about 3 years old, from the first time I ever took a train, which was a subway train, I was absolutely intrigued by them. I don't know why, but I became intrigued by them, and I have continued to be so to this day. One of the things that intrigued me and that I admire about train travel is that it seems to me to be essentially a, even though it doesn't always come off this way in practicality, it's a well-ordered way of traveling. It seems almost like I'm stating the obvious, but there's this track, and the train rests on the track, and the engineer pays attention to whatever signal is telling him what speed to go, and it's supposed to be, and I guess, it is actually statistically the safest form of travel, because the vast majority of railroad employees I sense are very much into their job, very dedicated and very careful about safety and observing signals, and they have the operators in the towers that control the signals and control the switching from one track to another. And here is this train with grooved wheels resting on a track, and there really isn't much doubt as to where it's going to go. It's not going to swerve or anything like that. It's not going to be affected by wind shearing, basically the way a plane might, let's say, in terms of safety. And most of the time, my sense is that even though you hear about certain train accidents, and it's nothing to minimize, some of them are tragic, that on the whole, statistically, it seems that most people are doing the right thing in terms of the safety aspect. In terms of the delays and such, I guess that's getting into issues beyond just specific employees. I think that I sense the vast majority, as I said, of let's say, viewing employees on the subways in the city and on the Long Island Railroad, really seem to enjoy their job and want to do a good job. I think that a lot of the factors surrounding, the modern-day factors surrounding travel is what sometimes can create the delays and the aggravations. And I personally feel that, I don't want to get into a soapbox, but I personally feel that there's a lot of potential for those things to, those trends to be reversed in terms of deterioration and in terms of inconvenience. And
Jim,
I think the trains are the most, are the biggest potential.
Jim, I just break in here a moment.
Sure,
I'm going to try something new. I'd like to keep that caller in there, but I'm taking a caller in here at the same time. Let's see if we can
actually. Thank you very much. Could I say something?
Sure.
Well, let me just get the other caller on because they've been waiting a long time. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Are you there?
Damage.
Yes, are you with us? Caller number two, are you with us? Sounds like a whale.
It does.
Well, that was interesting.
Maybe
okay,
it's
we're
a new
back
and the Long Island Railroad is testing for its diesel.
We're back
engines,
to one call. Let's try this caller. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Hello?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing?
My name is Bert.
Bert, how you doing?
I wanted to have, somebody called last week about some eclipse or some affecting the tides by some of the cars, the group of cars breaking up.
Uh-huh.
Well, we found out what it was.
What's that?
It was the last Boston concert series. It really...
I see.
That was it.
Okay, well, thanks for informing
Thank
us
you.
Of that.
Okay, all right, bye.
Bye. We're talking about trains this week, though. We only have about a minute left. The clock in here is inaccurate. I have midnight.
Well, I guess it's coming up to about a minute before midnight. And to the caller that originally was speaking to us about the commuting, it was something that you wanted to say?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, you know, a lot of the problems that have come up, and I don't know if people are aware of it, these are things that are external. Like, for example, the accident that happened on the Port Jeff line where I was on the train, it was a 523 from New York, we struck a car that went across a track at Herrick's,
mm-hmm,
in Eola.
Mm-hmm.
That backed things up for 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
Wait, was that the derailment last year?
It wasn't a derailment. A guy tried to run the tracks, you know, through the crossing.
Oh, because somebody on a train, right before the train I was on, put a parking meter in the middle of a track.
Oh, my God. That's what I mean. See, mm-hmm,
in an effort to get the cash out. He figured the train would hit it and open it up.
That's
wow.
Crazy.
Didn't work,
you
though.
Know, I was talking to a conductor, or rather an engineer. Would you call the person who runs the train the engineer?
Yes.
Okay. I was talking to a guy on Friday, actually. And he said that never before have they had the kind of problems that they're starting to have now. For example, it's much easier to stop these electric trains than
really?
The diesels. Sure, because all you have to do is put something on the third rail, and
oh,
that's
yes.
it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes,
and
that's right.
They really worry about that Ronkonkoma line, you know, and I wonder what you guys think about that, because, you know, without saying anything overtly, you know, negative about a particular town or anything like that, that the train goes through, along that line, you would have pockets of areas that could be problematic, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect, you know, long range, the train running through there.
Well, we're going to have to leave it at that because we have to get off the air.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping me on all this while.
All right, well,
thank
we'll be
calling.
On again. Jim won't be here next week, but I'll be here next week. Maybe we'll talk about trains again then, too.
Okay.
Because it's a lively subject.
What time do you guys go on the air, usually?
Oh, Brain Damage is on from 10 to 12 every Saturday night.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Spread the word.
Okay. Have a good
thank
weekend.
You.
Bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And Jim, I want to extend a special thanks to you, of course, for coming in this week and starting off the show.
My pleasure.
Doing such a great job.
Well,
by the way, this is your cue to start the outro music underneath us.
We'll do. Thank you.
Thank you. That's how you do it.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank you for
suddenly they don't know that you know it's actually the outro, so it sort of creeps up on you.
Actually, I was handed a public service announcement here to warn people against crossing tracks at the wrong time by the Long Island Railroad. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to it now, but I don't want to.
I'm sure the brothers will get into it.
Would the brothers Carposi be? Oh, the brother. Oh, Nick is he's either trying to hit me in the head or he's very beneficently or benevolently moving his hand, exhorting me to do so. So perhaps I should play it over your outro music.
He does that very well.
He does
that gesture again. I like that.
I think he trained. I think he went to an exhortation class.
Well, you can do it over the outro, but there are vocals here.
I'm TV Case, and I'd like to tell you about Billy.
I'll be right there, man.
You probably know guys just like him. Confident, lots of friends. When he promised to do something or be somewhere, he delivered. He could...